Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday I said I wanted to get to the argument against a national sales tax. In fact, against the sales tax of any type, because now that we are in a presidential election cycle, a lot of conservative candidates, Christians, many pro-life Christians who study God's word, they have come to believe that we should oppose an income tax and support a sales tax. So I'd like to give you eight arguments against the sales tax. And these are so powerful. I would say the number one, the most visible proponent of a national sales tax in the media today is Neil Bortz, syndicated talk show host Neil Bortz, B-O-O-R-T-Z. And I had the opportunity to debate him on this topic last year, and it was a great debate. I went through all 8 points. He fell apart in his effort. He's been defending a sales tax and opposing an income tax for years, and he just flat out fell apart because it's hard to come up against truth and just a confident portrayal of truth and do much with it. What are you going to do when you're wrong? You're wrong. And so toward the end of that discussion, I asked Neil Bortz, I said, Neil, do you think you did a good job defending your position? He said, oh, yes, absolutely. I said, well, then would you make a commitment to me and the audience that you would post a link to this debate on your website for 1 week? Would you do that? And he said, sure, Bob, sure, I'll do that. Well, he never did it. And it can't be because he forgot, because we reminded him. And we reminded him, and we reminded him, and he never did it. So that's a violation of a contract, right? An agreement. And we still remember that Neil Bortz did not keep his word, and maybe someday he will. But I'd like to go through these arguments also, since it is a time of intense political activity. If you've been following the elections and you have questions about our political system in America, about the candidates, about the issues, what are your top 10 issues? A lot of people, their top issues, you think about what are your top issues? What are the issues that you have most passion about, that you're most invested in? So then list your top 3, 4, 5 issues, and then ask yourself, do they make any of God's top 10 issues? Because God gave a list of his top 10 issues. And sometimes people are passionate about things that don't even make it on God's list. So find out if your issues are God's issues, and then you'll be able to live your life more effectively doing things that matter more. Okay, so let's go through these arguments. Conservatives, many, have been convinced that an income tax is wrong, and that what we need is a sales tax. Now, I think this phenomenon is known as something different, anything but, the anything buttery approach. I don't like what we have, so I want the opposite. Like in health food stores, what do they sell in health food stores? If you want something to drink, natural, they sell goat's milk, of all things, goat's milk. Now, why do they do that? Because the grocery stores have cow's milk. Now, I can assure you that if the grocery stores all sold goat's milk, that the health food stores would all sell cow's milk. And they would tell you, don't drink goat's milk, drink cow's milk. I could assure you. So when people don't like something, they want something different. And they may or may not understand what's pushing them toward wanting something different. If we had a national sales tax and the government was out of control, Neil Bortz would probably be the leading proponent of a national income tax. Probably. Can I prove that? No. You need to be an intuitive to figure that out. But he might say, Bob, you're wrong. But how could we trust him? He lied about posting my show on his website. So it's a little hard to trust Neil unless he comes clean and posts that debate I had with Neil Bortz. By the way, you can listen to that online at our website, kgov.com, or you could just Google Bortz Benyart. That'll get you there, right? Isn't that amazing, the world we live in? Of a whole world filled with information, just Google two words, Bortz and Yart, and you'll find a debate and be able to listen to it. It's just astounding. Bortz is B-O-O-O-O-O-R-T-Z. Bortz, Neil, N-E-A-L, B-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-R-T-Z. Neil Bortz. Okay, so now here are the arguments. First off, there are 8 objections to a sales tax. And I made these arguments to Neil. He supports the fair tax, which would be a 22% sales tax. So when you buy something, you add 22% of it, which for the public school teachers tuning in right now, that's almost a quarter of the price. And that would be a sales tax that you would pay. Now, first off, I asked Neil, you see, there's no right of conscription. The government has no right to conscript an individual into labor. So I asked Neil Bortz, to do a sales tax, all businessmen have to be forced to become tax collectors. So I asked Neil Bortz, who fancies himself, what, libertarian, sort of conservative? I asked Neil Bortz, and this has happened in the past when I've debated well-known, nationally known advocates of the sales tax. The same thing has happened. I start out saying, does the government have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector? And you know what they say? No. They admit it. So debate's over. You lost. I won. The government doesn't have the right to force a businessman or anyone to become a tax collector. And you know what? Millions of people, businessmen, hate having to collect taxes and be the middleman and turn the tax receipts over to the government. Millions of businessmen and women hate the government forcing them to collect taxes. And you know what Neil Bortz's only reply was? The best defense he could give is that, well, we already do it. We already conscript tax collectors. And later, as I pressed him, as I'm known to do, Bortz admitted that that's not a valid defense. And then he said he'd have to look into it. What, Neil, after 10 years of advocating this, you never thought whether the government has the right to force an individual, a private person, to become a tax collector? You never thought about it? First time in your whole life is on Bob and Yart Live? And do you see the crisis that we're in? That leading conservatives, right-wingers, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, libertarians who say they stand on a principled view of government haven't even thought through the simplest issues of do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't commit perjury. The simplest issues of liberty and the proper domain of governance, they don't understand it. And the reason is because they bought into some worldview and they spend their lives trying to justify that worldview. If you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, you study God's word, you find out what the proper worldview is, then you begin to assemble your understanding of issue after issue after issue. And taxes is a pretty major issue. All right, so there is no right of conscription that the government has to force a businessman to become a tax collector. Just no right. Secondly, that's the first argument, and already the debate is won. The debate is won. Secondly, a sales tax entices strangers to commit fraud. Think about that. A sales tax entices strangers to commit fraud, and it does so systematically. Now, there's something wrong with the law or the government if it systematically entices people to break the law. Does that make sense to you? There is something wrong with the government or the laws if they systematically entice people to do wrong, to steal, to commit fraud. So think about how a sales tax works. A sales tax That's where two people who don't know each other, they meet and they conduct business. They do a transaction and then they part. And they'll never see each other again for the rest of their lives until on Judgment Day. That's when the next time they'll see each other. Well, a sales tax entices millions of strangers who meet briefly to conspire together to defraud the government, fueling a much greater illicit underground economy because we all buy and sell from 100 times more people than we employ. Now, think about that. How many people do you employ? How many people work for you? Get that number. Think of that number. For most of us, the number is zero. Now, for me, it's a few. But for most Americans, the number is zero. How many people do you employ? Zero. How many people do you work for? Well, for most of us, the answer is one. I have one boss. Now, how many people do you buy things from? Oh. Well, do you mean in a week? In a day? In a day, I buy things from usually, you know, a number of different people. In a week, in a month, in a year, in a decade, I buy things from hundreds of people. And how many people buy things from you? Well, it depends. If you sell things online or through your business, or however, if you sell things, then maybe one or two or a dozen or hundreds of people buy things from you. So a sales tax of 22%, almost a quarter of the value of some item, strangers come together, they meet briefly, and they could save almost a quarter of the cost of their transaction, of the purchase price of something. And so the system, it entices strangers to defraud the government at a rate of about 100 times greater than does the system of income tax. So Neil Bortz, those of you who listened to that debate, remember what he replied? He disagreed. Neil Bortz disagreed that the buying and selling relationship will give opportunity to more people to defraud the government than the employment relationship does. He just disagreed. And so from that, you can take that he misunderstood the point. He just flat out misunderstood it. It's not possible that a thinking person could disagree with that. It's irrefragable. That argument is irrefragable. Now, for those public school teachers listening right now, or for those who went to school and were taught by public school teachers, you'll have to look up that word, irrefragable. Okay, number three, third argument. The first is the government has no right of conscription. It can't force you to become a tax collector. It cannot rightly do that. Secondly, a sales tax entices strangers to defraud the government, destroying the respect that the society would have for law and for governing officials. Third, sales tax is a startup impediment. A sales tax is an impediment. I wonder if those teachers know what that word means. A sales tax is an impediment to starting up a business for many, many, many people. A sales tax makes it far more difficult to enter into business, especially for the poor, for the young, for those with less business capability. It's more difficult. They have to not only install the systems necessary for a sales tax, but then they have to collect that money and they have to have the discipline to not spend that money. And that's hard when you're starting up a business and your cash flow it's tight or it's negative. And here's money in your drawer. You got $300 and here's a bill, or your wife says, we don't have any money for food. And you say, well, here's the $300, but I can't use the $300. I got my wife and the baby's crying. I'll use the $300 and then I'll repay it tomorrow or Monday or in January. And pretty soon the guy who's just trying to make a living and start up a business, he can't handle that overhead of responsibility and complexity, and he gets in trouble or he gives up, he doesn't start the business. And that's a way out of poverty for millions of people who are struggling, is start a small business. All right. So a sales tax is a startup impediment. A sales tax, that's the third argument. First, no right of conscription. Second, entices strangers to commit fraud. Third, sales tax is a startup impediment to business. You know what Neil Bortz replied to that last argument? He said, we already have a sales tax. It's like, Neil, you nincompoop, we already have an income tax. So if that's your argument, that's your defense, we already have an income tax. So what's your objection to an income tax, Neil? Oh, it's I'm against it because of da-da-da. Yeah, but Neil, we already have an income tax. Do you see the absurdity? It's like debating a porpoise. It's like debating a porpoise. Okay. So the fourth argument against an income tax, and notice how we start with the fundamental moral issues, and then we then get to the pragmatic issues. You notice that? Many Christians have been confused about how to think about issues. They start with their pragmatic issues. And they think, oh, I don't like this, or I think this would be easier, so therefore I support that because it's easier. Well, it's easier to steal money than to make it for some people. So that doesn't matter. What matters first is what is right and what is wrong. You process that. Become an expert on right and wrong. It's not difficult. It's actually simple. All it takes is a desire. If you desire to know God and to know right and wrong, you can. You could become an expert. A 12-year-old can be an expert on right and wrong, where 1,000 lawyers would be just utterly befuddled. A 12-year-old. We have 6, 8, and 10-year-old boys, our youngest kids, and they're experts on right and wrong. They're experts on right and wrong. Okay, so number four, a sales tax, as compared to an income tax, has a vastly greater transaction cost. Now, if you've ever studied economics or just thought about it for a moment, you realize every time there's a transaction, there's a cost. Like if somebody gives $100 to a business or a ministry and it's on a credit card, there's a cost. Because the credit card processing company, they don't do it because they love you. They do it to make money. And if you give someone a check, there's a cost. If you pay with cash, there's a cost. Because then the business has to do a deposit and take it to the bank, and that takes time and gas, and it costs something just to have a transaction. So with taxation, every time you pay a tax, there's a cost. Your effort to pay it, not only, I'm not talking about the payment of the tax, the value of the payment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the time and effort to make the payment, and the time and effort to collect the payment, the transaction cost. So how many sales transactions are there per day in America? Well, let's say, let's round it off to a nice, neat billion. Let's say there are 1 billion sales transactions per day. That's about 3 per day. It's a nice round number. Now, are there 1 billion paychecks issued per day? 1 billion? No, of course not. Not everyone gets 3 paychecks every day. That doesn't happen. So there are about 1 billion sales transactions per day, but vastly fewer income tax transactions, which means that it is a far greater burden on the economy to process sales transactions. And Neil Bortz said, oh, no, 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 no. I disagree with that. Economists disagree with that. Now, Neil probably misunderstood the point, since it's irrefutably obvious that the cost of processing 400 billion sales tax transactions per year is more than processing perhaps 4 billion income tax transactions per year. It's just 400 billion versus 4 billion. It's about 100 times more involved. And it's worse than that, because when you collect a tax from your employees, and by the way, that shouldn't happen. Employers should not collect income tax. When you get paid, you should remit 5%, a flat 5% of your income to the government. That's your tax. You're responsible to pay your tax. You shouldn't have a mommy or a daddy collect your tax from you to make sure you pay it. That's not the way government works, and the government does not have the right to force a business owner to collect the taxes that you owe. You owe them, you pay them. Okay, so Neil simply misunderstood the point. I can't think of any other possibility. Then the fifth argument, it's the unfair tax. Now, they call it the fair tax. 22%, that's it. They say it's fair. Whatever you buy, you know, there's some exceptions, but whatever you buy, you pay 22%. We all pay the same. Malarkey, we do. Paying a 22% sales tax on consumables and other items is grossly unfair when you compare the wealthy to those struggling in the middle class. Why? Because those who struggle would be taxed on a huge percent of their incomes while they spend just to survive. Whereas Bill Gates, let's say he spends only $30 million per year, which would mean that he would pay tax on only 1% of his income. He's paying tax on 1% of his income. He can't even notice it. He can't possibly see it. He's not paying 1%. Tax. He's paying tax on 1% of his income. And the poor is being taxed on his entire income. You know what Neil Bortz replied to that? He refused to answer that. He did not answer it. The seventh argument, that was the fifth, the unfair tax. The sixth argument, it's a conflict of economic interest. Conflict of interest, okay? Government will obsessively encourage. See, the government wants money. So the government should not have a system of obtaining money that involves a conflict of interest. Like when you drive down the road, if you go 10 miles over the speed limit, it's perfectly safe. And the government knows they could get $85 out of you if you're stopped and given a speeding ticket. Most speeding tickets are actually just a license to speed. That's it. People who could afford it, speed. And so the government should not get money for people violating the law, because then the government has a conflict of interest. They want to keep, you know, they want to keep 40 million drivers speeding annually because it brings in an extra $30 billion for their budgets. It's a conflict of interest. Now, in this case, it's a little different. With the national sales tax, any sales tax, the government encouraged spending and borrowing rather than increased incomes, saving, and investment. You see? So the government will obsessively encourage spending and borrowing rather than increased income, saving, and investment. And Neil Bortz's reply, he said, Bob, this is your first valid point. Okay, so he just missed the previous five. That was it. He just missed the previous five. Said your first valid point. All the others have been the most irrelevant and inane objections he'd ever heard of. That's what he said. I guess he has, you know, here at Bob and Your Live, we have the brightest audience in the country. So I get practice for 16 years. I get practice refining the arguments because we have bright listeners. And if I have something goofy I'm promoting, I get challenged. Neil Bortz, his listeners must be dolts. You got to be adults to listen to Neil Bortz and not challenge him on these things. So then number seven, the fair tax that Neil Bortz promotes, he says he thinks we shouldn't tax the poor at all. Just don't tax the poor. Just force them to become tax collectors, but don't tax them. Okay, that hurts the poor. To not tax the poor hurts them. The fair tax exempts the poor and they will not have ownership in our society. They cannot walk down the street with their head held high. The poor need to pay the same percent with a flat income tax as everyone else does, especially to build their own self-respect. And Neil Bortz said, yes, handouts do create a sense of dependency with the poor, but I don't think exempting the poor from paying any taxes would have that effect. No, of course it wouldn't, Neil, of course. And number eight, the eighth argument against the national sales tax. You don't need a sales tax to eliminate the IRS. The sales tax people say, here's how we're going to eliminate the IRS. We're going to have a national sales tax. So the Internal Revenue Service, you know, they don't care what kind of tax they are authorized to collect and make sure it's being paid. And they don't care. But a flat income tax does not require a tax collection agency. People can simply remit their taxes just as a business remits sales tax revenues. And Neil replied, then you are arguing against all taxation. What do you do with that? I mean, once again, Neil misunderstood the point. I wasn't arguing against all taxes. I was saying you don't need a sales tax to do away with the IRS. Just do away with the IRS and people are responsible to pay their taxes. People are responsible to pay their electric bill. You don't need the IRS electric company. People pay their electric bill. They pay their food bill and they're responsible to pay their taxes. And what if somebody doesn't? Well, what if somebody commits a robbery? Well, when there's evidence of a crime, the government investigates. When there's no evidence of a crime, they don't investigate. The police don't come to your house and say, prove you didn't rob anyone last year. How are you going to do that? That's what the IRS does. So it was a really interesting debate. You could listen to it and see if I misrepresented Neil Bortz. And I submit to you that I have not misrepresented him. And that you can verify that for yourself by just listening. And it's pretty cool, right? What does a right-wing Christian pastor know about tax policy? What could he possibly know about tax? He's not an economist. He's only on one 50,000-watt blowtorch and the internet and trying to take over the world. What could he possibly know about tax policy? Well, listen to Neil Bortz and find out. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school.